This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
Why would anyone cover for a man facing over 40 criminal counts involving a child? That's the question. That's the only question that matters now in the Aaron Spencer case. Because the judge just said, we're not doing this shit. I'll be very direct with you. I don't think the answer is very complicated here. I think the answer is obvious. I think it's the answer that nobody in an official capacity wants to say out loud, but we're going to get there. A judge in Arkansas just threw out the second degree murder case against Aaron Spencer. Your voices worked. All of it. The kerfuffle that's been created. The attention that was put on a corrupt local police system has been seen, has been heard, and a judge said, cover up. Let that sit for a minute. Because this case, well, Aaron Spencer's prosecution is now over. Thank God. This story is not. We are not going to let the folks who pursued this man for years and tried to put him behind bars for protecting his daughter, we're not letting those folks just get by. Oh, it's dismissed. Okay, well, you can move. You're going to be good now? Oh, we're going to, like you did nothing? Like you weren't part of some sort of a cover-up? And we're going to get into all this. What does it mean? What does a cover-up actually mean in a case like this? Your thoughts, I'd love in the comment section as we work our way through this. So the judge threw out Aaron Spencer's second-degree murder charges. Not on a technicality, not because of a filing deadline, because the judge, Special Circuit Court Judge Ralph Wilson Jr., looked at what Lonoke County law enforcement did with the evidence in this case and wrote in a formal order that their conduct showed a pattern of policy and procedure violations and gave the appearance of a cover-up. He called what they did so egregious that the only appropriate remedy was to dismiss the entire prosecution. His exact words, dismissal is an extraordinary and extreme remedy. And then he did it anyway because the facts left him no choice. Let me make sure you understand how rare this is. Judges don't throw out murder cases. They especially don't throw out murder cases using the word cover up in their written order. That language was chosen. That language was deliberate. A sitting judge just told the state of Arkansas that the people who investigated this case didn't just fail. They appear to have actively corrupted the process. And the question I can't stop asking is why? Why would they do that? Who benefits? Let me back up just enough to make sure everyone is on the same page here. October 2024, Aaron Spencer's 13-year-old daughter is missing from her bedroom in the middle of the night. Spencer goes looking for her and finds her in the truck of a 67-year-old man named Michael Fossler. Fossler was facing over 40 criminal counts, allegations involving Spencer's daughter that I'm not going to describe in detail because you can fill in the blanks and because this isn't about the specifics of what Fossler was accused of. It's about what happened. After Fossler was out on bond. Yeah, out on bond. The local system that the judge has now said there's an appearance of corruption is the same system that let him out on bond with 40 some charges against him. There was a no contact order, and the child was in his truck. After midnight, the same person he'd already been charged with doing this with, he came and kidnapped her from her home, a child. Her dad, Aaron Spencer, like I said, noticed she was gone. He's freaking out. They call 911. He gets in his truck and starts looking immediately. Wouldn't you if your daughter was missing? And you know there was an active predator in the area that the local authorities said, go on, we trust you. Spencer found him, rammed his truck. There was a confrontation. Spencer fired. Fossler died at the scene. Thank God. A predator removed from the planet by hero dad Aaron Spencer. And Arkansas, at least the folks in this jurisdiction in Lonoke County, said, criminal, how dare you take away one of our prized child predators? You must pay. Oh, you want to talk about this case? You want anybody to hear about this case? We're going to gag order. Nobody can talk about it. We're not going to give any reason why you can't talk about this, why this can't be investigated further or by outside sources very deeply. Huh. I wonder why that is. You know, birds of a feather, folks like Fossler, they tend to travel in packs. They tend to do this to children in groups. They tend to share their material. They're not usually lone wolves. So who else in Lonoke County is in on the take? Fossler died at the scene. Spencer called 911 himself. He never ran. He never hid. He told the authorities exactly what happened. And the state of Arkansas charged him with second-degree murder. Now, set aside for a moment whether you think that charge was justified. It wasn't. Set aside the legal arguments about defense of others, about whether the force was proportional, about Arkansas self-defense statutes. I've covered all of that. We've had that conversation. We can have it separately. It's clear as frickin' day. He was protecting his daughter. What I want to talk about right now is what happened inside the investigation, because that's where the story stops being about Aaron Spencer and starts being about something much bigger, something a lot of folks in Lonoke County in positions of power would rather us not talk about. Foster's truck had a dash cam. That dash cam had an SD card, and that SD card was potentially the single most important piece of evidence in the entire case, because it could have recorded the final moments of the encounter, what actually happened between Spencer and Fossler in those last seconds, whether Fossler lunged, whether Spencer had reason to believe his daughter was in immediate danger, despite the fact that she was kidnapped by the man who already had 40-some charges against him. The judge said, you can go free. We trust you. The prosecution called it murder. The defense called it a father protecting his child, because that's what it is here on planet reality. And the dash cam footage could have settled it. Investigators had that SD card. They logged it. It was in their possession. And then, according to the court record and the judge's own findings, they handled it differently from every other piece of evidence collected at the scene. Why? Well, they violated their own department's policy and how they processed it. And then it was gone, lost, vanished from the evidence chain, the most important piece in the whole case. Whoops! The one piece of evidence that could have told the whole truth about what happened that night, just gone. In the hands of the very people who were building the murder case against the father of the child Fossler was charged with crimes against. If you want to, I want you to just sit with that for a second. I want you to think about what that looks like, because Judge Wilson thought about it too. He thought about it carefully, and he concluded that it looked like a cover-up. The detective at the center of this is Robbie McCain, a Lonoke County Sheriff's Office investigator. The department is run by Sheriff John Staley. And here's where the story develops another layer that I find very hard to explain away as coincidence. Aaron Spencer was running for sheriff against Staley, against the man whose department was responsible for the evidence in Spencer's murder case. Spencer won the Republican primary in March with over 53% of the vote, more than doubling Staley's numbers. The voters of Lonoke County had already rendered their judgment on the sheriff's office before the judge rendered his. So think about the incentive structure here in that lane. The department investigating the murder case was the same department whose leader was being politically challenged by the defendant. The people handling the evidence had a direct institutional interest in the outcome, and the one piece of evidence that could have helped the defense is the one piece of evidence that disappeared. If you wrote this as fiction, an editor would tell you, nah, it's a little bit too much. Nah. Too on the nose. Things don't happen like that. But here they did. But it's not just the sheriff's office. I mean, that's what gets me. It's not just the detective or one department having a bad day. Look at the full picture of how this case was handled locally and tell me this looks like a series of independent mistakes. Judge Barbara Elmore, the original judge on this case, issued a gag order so broad that the Arkansas Supreme Court struck it down. Then she attempted to restrict public and media access from the courtroom. The Supreme Court had to intervene again. And this time, they didn't just reverse the ruling. They removed her from the case entirely. That's an extraordinary action. The state's highest court looked at how a local judge was handling this prosecution and said, "You're off the case." Members of the Arkansas House of Representatives had formally raised concerns about whether Spencer was even getting a fair process. State legislators writing letters about a local murder trial. That's how far off the rails this went locally, with the local powers that be insulating themselves from something. So you got a sheriff's department that lost the critical evidence, a judge who tried to silence a defendant and shut the public out of the courtroom twice until the Supreme Court physically removed her, a prosecutor, Chuck Graham, who kept pushing the murder charge even as the evidence problems piled up and were documented in motion after motion. Graham filed his opposition to the dismissal motion the day before Wilson granted it. The day before, he was still fighting to keep his prosecution alive. Well, the court was finding that the evidence had been corrupted. Every institution that touched this case at a local level moved in the same direction, towards burying it, towards restricting who could see it and who could talk about it, towards prosecuting the father and away from any accountability for the people who let a man with 40 plus counts walk free and allegedly reach that child again. That's not incompetence. Incompetence is random. Incompetence goes in different directions. One person makes a mistake this way, another person makes a mistake that way. That's what real institutional failure looks like. Messy, inconsistent, contradictory. What happened in Lonoke County was none of those things. It was directional. It was consistent. And it was sustained over nearly 2 years across multiple benches of a local system. Why? What could possibly motivate that kind of coordinated effort? Let me say what I think. And I want to be clear. This is my opinion. This is my editorial position based on everything I've watched unfold in this case over the past year and a half. I could be wrong, but the question demands an answer. And the only answer that makes the behavior make sense is one that nobody in an official position seems willing to consider. You don't cover up a case involving a man facing that volumes of charges against a child to protect a dead man. Fossler is gone. He can't be prosecuted. He can't be convicted. There's no institutional reason to protect Michael Fossler's reputation or legacy. He was a man accused of horrific things involving a 13-year-old girl, and he died before he could answer for any of it. So who are you protecting? You're protecting the living. You're protecting whoever else might be connected. You're protecting the people who might be exposed if anyone starts pulling on the threads of how Michael Fossler operated for as long as he allegedly did, because men facing that many charges involving a child don't exist in a vacuum. That volume of alleged conduct over that period of time is a community, or in a community, it raises questions. Who knew? Who looked the other way? Who else was involved? Who had access? Were there other people in Fossler's orbit who were engaged in similar conduct? Were there people in positions of authority who were aware and did nothing? Those are the questions that a full, honest investigation would pursue. And those are exactly the questions that disappear if the focus stays locked on prosecuting the father who stopped Fossler instead of investigating the system that enabled Fossler. That's what I believe happened here. I believe the system in Lonoke County had more to lose from a thorough investigation into Fossler and his connections than it did from a murder conviction of Aaron Spencer. I believe the SD card didn't just get lost. I believe the gag orders weren't just judicial overreach. I believe the resistance to transparency wasn't just bureaucratic instinct. I believe it was protection, not of Fossler, but of the people whose names might have surfaced if anyone had been allowed to dig deep enough into who Fossler was and how he was able to do what he allegedly did for as long as he allegedly did it. And I want to be crystal clear about something. Again, I'm not alleging that I have evidence of specific individuals engaged in specific conduct. I'm saying the behavior of the system only makes sense if you assume the system has something to protect beyond a dead man's prosecution. I'm saying that when a judge uses the word cover up in his written order, the next question isn't whether there was one, it's what's being covered up. And the most logical answer, the one that makes every bizarre decision in this case click into place, is that the trail doesn't stop at Michael Fossler. Aaron Spencer is free. The case is dismissed. He's the Republican nominee for Lewinaugh County Sheriff, and he'll face a general election this fall without a murder charge hanging over him. That is justice. Justice delayed, damaged, and dragged through nearly 2 years of what a court has now described as egregious law enforcement conduct, but justice. But the system didn't answer for any of the questions that actually matter. Detective McCain hasn't been charged with anything. Sheriff Staley hasn't been investigated. Prosecutor Graham hasn't explained why he kept fighting for a conviction while the evidence was falling apart underneath him. Judge Elmore was removed from the case, but she's still on the bench. A judge can throw out a case. A judge can't investigate the people who corrupted it. That's a federal question. That requires resources and authority that no state court judge has. That's FBI territory. That's a federal civil rights investigation. That's subpoenas and forensic evidence analysis and interviews under oath with every person who touched that SD card and every person who made the decision to prosecute Aaron Spencer while the evidence problems were stacking up. And it's not just about the evidence tampering. It's about what the evidence tampering was designed to conceal. If the FBI opens this up, and I believe they should, the investigation can't stop at the sheriff's department. It has to go deeper into Fossler's history, into his connections, into who the Lewinaugh County knew. Who in Lewinaugh County knew what and when. Into why a system that was supposed to protect a 13-year-old girl instead released the man accused of harming her, then charged her father with stepping in, then according to a court of law, corrupted the evidence to make the prosecution stick. That's not a story about one lost SD card. That's a story about a system that protected itself at the expense of a child and her family. And until someone with federal authority asks why, the real why, not the polite version, the people responsible for what the judge described are going to walk away from this without answering a single question. A judicial finding of appearance of a cover-up in a case involving a man charged with over 40 counts against a child is now part of the public record. It exists. It's in writing. It's signed by a judge. If that's not enough to trigger a federal investigation into who else the system in Lewinaugh County might be protecting, then I don't know what is. And I don't think anyone in a position to act on it has a good answer for why it hasn't started yet. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. We will continue this conversation there, and you can bet on Tuesday, Bob Mata will be joining us to discuss where this goes next. Press subscribe so you don't miss it. We'll continue in the comment section. Until then, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Here's what happened when one journalist reported on DEI programs.
I decided to just focus on the University of Michigan. I obtained internal documents that showed that the school had spent about $250 million on DEI programs. I spent 2 weeks in Ann Arbor talking to everybody I could find. The unintended consequences of these programs, they had sort of left everybody dissatisfied. And this expensive machinery the school had built just imploded. If you're a journalist, you are not on anyone's team. All you're trying to do is figure out as many of the facts as you can gather. The facts are going to guide you to where the story lands. You're not taking sides. I'm Nick Confessori. I'm an investigations reporter for the New York Times.
Journalists like Nick follow the facts wherever they lead. They go where news breaks, get answers firsthand, and publish what they find. That's fact-based reporting. Seek it out if you don't already.